If the Lord tarries in his coming, this coming Tuesday is a national election day. Well, quite a few people have already voted early. But what will be the results of our presidential election? Of course, Senate seats and House of Representatives seats are being voted on as well, and other offices too. Well, what I'm asking this morning is, does it really matter who comes to the power as far as my serving God? Well, it shouldn't. As far as my being faithful to God, having obeyed the gospel and remaining in the true church, the church of Christ, it shouldn't matter who is in power. God should be our king regardless of who's the president or king of a certain nation. Is that not right? Well, I hope everybody agrees with me, because we need to stay with what the Word of God says. And that's why I thought it would be appropriate this morning to study from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. As the elders of Israel came to Samuel to make a request. And what a tragic results would come about because of a tragic request. And this was during the period of the judges, and we'll want to study that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. PFE helps us to remember to do just that every day. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern which God has given us. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Something else to mention. If you're interested in studying the Bible together, please let us know. We'll look forward to those opportunities and set it up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, they're always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Before we get into our study, I want to mention today begins the 43rd annual lectureship at the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ, 6920, that's 6920 East Stop 11 Road in Indianapolis, and the theme of the lecture, God Called Me. I have the privilege of speaking this morning, Lord willing, at 11 a.m., and my subject is God Called Me to Be Holy. Yes, there are many better speakers than me. I'm privileged to be a part of this lectureship. I also speak on Wednesday night, and that would be at 8 p.m., and my subject is God Called Me to Forgive. But you'll want to check out on their website the times of the services and the speakers and their topics, because this goes through November the 7th. And so you'll want to see the variety of subjects on God Called Me. And I look forward to being a part of this great lectureship, and the fellowship is wonderful. Well, let's get to our study now as we're looking at a tragic request made by the Israelites. As we go to Judges chapter 17 and notice verse 6, it's also in the last verse of the book, verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. A time of idolatry. How sad, how tragic this history was. And for us to study it, we can learn from it, as they made a tragic mistake. And let's not follow suit. Now, you think about what people are doing today in regards to leaving out God's will and doing what's right in their own eyes. Well, for example, who would have thought it would be proper for men to go into a ladies' bathroom because they call themselves a woman, they dress like a woman? That doesn't make it right. What about men, boys playing in girls' sports? Because they call themselves a woman, does it make it so? And what about abortion? Up to the time of birth, and some advocate even after birth. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Instead of staying with God's word, you see what can happen? When man departs from it, he does what he thinks is right. And you see what a mess we have. Homosexual marriage. Men being married to one another. Women being married to one another. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It was that way in the beginning. It stays that way in the eyes of God, no matter what the Supreme Court says. I'm just giving examples, you see, of how every man did that which was right in his own eyes in our time. But let's get to verse 4 of 1 Samuel 8 and begin our study of a tragic request. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Why did Israel desire a king? Well, the verse tells us, doesn't it? Verse 5. They offered this excuse, because Samuel was old and his sons walked not in the ways of their father. Well, why not deal with that problem instead of requesting to have a king, an earthly king, instead of having God as their king? There's no justification for that, for having an earthly king instead of having God as their king. Of course not. Remember Gideon, who refused to be made king, and he said, The Lord shall rule over you. His son wouldn't rule over them either. Judges 8, 22 and 23. How many excuses are offered today for not obeying God's commandments? Just like they were trying to make an excuse for asking for an earthly king. Notice Luke chapter 14. Excuse me. Notice beginning in verse 16, as Jesus said unto this Pharisee, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Jesus bids us to come to his marriage supper, to the marriage feast. He invites us for salvation, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. That's the invitation of Christ, and how many make excuses not to accept it? Can you imagine buying a car and not even going to ride in it, test it out? That doesn't make a lick of sense. And neither does not obeying the gospel when we're of the age of accountability and making excuses. But the situation here, as we're studying from 1 Samuel, the real reason why they wanted an earthly king, notice verses 19 and 20 of 1 Samuel 8. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." God, remember, is their king, and they are rejecting God in order to have a man who's going to fight their battles. But you see, they wanted to be like the nations round about them. They were to be distinct, separate. They're not to be like the nations round about them. Israel wanted to be like the world, which meant that they would have to restructure God's arrangement. And that's sad to say, the situation today in the Lord's church, some want to restructure God's pattern. The church is organized in accordance to God's will, not man's. Christ is the head of the church. It's his body. And those that obey the gospel, the ecclesia, are part of his body, members of the body of Christ. And we're not to rearrange that. What's the work of the church? Evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Don't add anything else to that. It wouldn't be proper. What about the way the church is organized beside Christ being the head of the church? What about having elders that meet the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? And deacons under the eldership meeting the qualifications. Preachers and teachers staying with the truth. And all the members working together to glorify God. Stay with the organization that God gave us. What about how we're to worship God? Is there not a pattern? 5 avenues of worship. We are to sing. That's a cappella, not with an instrument that man made. Sing is specific. Where is the melody? In the heart. Pray. Of course, that's part of worship. And preaching God's word. Of course, not just telling stories, but preaching the word. And then the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And then, of course, giving of our means as we've been prospered. That's the 5 avenues of worship. Let's stay with the pattern and not be like the world. Now, Romans 10:1-3, notice, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." The Apostle Paul had that attitude. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God," but notice, "but not according to knowledge." But not according to knowledge. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You see, when people have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge, what is going to happen? They're going to establish their own righteousness. What we're doing is fine because we're sincere about it. Wrong. That doesn't make it right. It has to be according to knowledge, staying with the truth, the pattern that God has given us. Let's be sure we understand that. So many in the Lord's church today want to be like the denominations which are around us. The church is to be distinct, not part of all the division that we find in the religious world today. From where did the idea come to build family life centers? Well, it's fine to have a community center, but that's built by the local government, not by the church. That's not the church's responsibility to take care of the recreational facilities in the community. What about to have a children's church? Where did that idea came from? Came from the denominations, didn't it? To separate the children from the worship service. What if you separated the senior citizens, the singles in the congregation, and so forth? You'd have the congregation all divided up. And it's not to be divided up. It's to come together in one place. And what about a worship celebration? Where did that come from, that idea? Didn't come from the scriptures. Came from the denominations. To have performances during the worship services, and on I could go. These ideas did not come from God. They came from the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, Colossians 2:8. But let's go on in our study and notice verses 6 through 9 here in 1 Samuel 8. But the thing displeased Samuel, of course, this request that they had made, when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." How sad it is to hear the words of God telling Samuel, "They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." What would God say to us today? Well, we better be sure we're staying with the pattern that God has given, staying faithful in the Lord's church. It was evil and displeasing to Samuel, who was a priest and a prophet of God, as we see in 1 Samuel 12:12 and 16 and 17. But as we ask the question, how did God receive their request? Again, he saw it as a sign that they had rejected him. Go to chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. Look at verse 19. "And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries, out of your tribulation. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." You see, they preferred a man to rule over them rather than God. And how many today are just like that? You know, deception can seem to be so right. So many people are falling in line, jumping on the bandwagon because of feelings. Feels right. But God said, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 16:25. It's even repeated. So we need to stay with the Word of God and not just in our feelings. They can be wrong. And be careful what we ask for. We may get it. Hosea 13:9-11. "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou sayest, Give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath." God is in control. God allowed Israel to have a king, but God chose the king. If we were to go back to Deuteronomy 17, you would see how the inspired Moses knew about this before it happened, as he wrote it in those verses, Deuteronomy 17:14-15. But let's ask this question. What was Israel's strength? Deuteronomy 31 and verses 7 through 12. Let's notice together. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Moses had disobeyed God when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And God said, You're not going to go into the promised land. But he allowed Moses to see it. And then Moses died and God buried him. And so Moses is explaining to Joshua his responsibility. Be strong and of good courage. You see, in verse 8, And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is coming to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Did we note that? Where God chooses is going to be the place. Gather the people together. Notice this. Men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. They all came together in one place. And we must do so when we worship God. That's right. But what was Israel's strength? What made Israel strong? It was obedience to the word of God. God's prophets revealed the word of God, which gave them strength and power. But what did Israel do? She exchanged her strength for weakness and ruin. How was Israel able to win her battles? By the mighty power of God, of course. And you can see that in Deuteronomy 1 through 4. Yes, it was by the power of God. Why would you want to turn away from God and put a man in charge as your king? Doesn't make a lick of sense, of course not. You know, the world did not need another nation like the pagan nations, did it? Of course not. The world needed a nation that was different and set apart. And Samuel warned them. If you go over to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and start with verse 23 through 25, you'll see how Samuel warned them. What's going to happen when you set this man as your king and let go of God as your king? Well, let's turn over there and read that. Only fear, well, back up to 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. That's the warning. That's right. And as you think about what happened after Israel received her request. Of course, God chose Saul to be the first king. He was humble, started out good, was obedient, but he became, you'll remember, jealous of David, and Saul ended up with a shipwrecked faith, disobeyed God, and of course committed suicide, taking his own life. How sad. And what happened after Israel received a request is there's examples to look at. 1 Kings 14:24. And there were also Sodomites. You know what a sodomite is? Well, I don't need to go into detail, do I? It's a homosexual. They were sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You see, homosexuality is a sin. It always has been, it always will be. We can love the sinner, but we must hate the sin. We need to have people get out of sin, not be substantiated in their sins. They're going to lose their soul for eternity. How's that caring about them? Well, it's not. That's the point. Now, this was during the time of Rehoboam, king over Judah. And Jeroboam led the northern kingdom into idolatry. All the kings were bad in the north. Jehu was used by God temporarily in getting rid of the house of Ahab, but he became an idolater like the rest of them, leading the nation. And the southern kingdom had some good kings, yes, like Josiah and Hezekiah, but they had some mediocre, and they had some bad ones as well. There are so many examples in the scriptures showing the results of Israel rejecting God as their king. Yes, and it's not pretty. Look at 2 Kings 17:32-34. Here's one of the phrases. And served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. 2 Kings 21:9, but they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Do I need to go on? That's enough examples. The last question now for us to deal with. What is the strength of the Lord's church? The Word of God being in the minds of her members and being carried out in their lives. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. Knowledge and faithfulness go hand in hand, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. If we compromise the truth, we no longer have the truth. The world does not need another denomination, does it? We all should answer, well, of course not. Look how many there are. What does the world need? The world needs the Church of Christ to be different and to be set apart. And never forget that, all of us. The true church of the Bible, the church purchased with the blood of Christ. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Well, let's never exchange the strength which we receive from the Word of God, the truth, for weakness and ruin as the Israelites did. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. The Bible is the Word of God which gives us our strength. Therefore, we should never neglect it nor become like the denominations around about us, because there's one true church. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of one's sins, making the good confession, and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism, contacting the precious blood of Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.